excited today to be here to have another interview. This is so much fun. This is the Hallmarkies podcast, and I am Rachel, and I am here to talk with Andrea Brooks again for the second time. Thank you so much, Andrea, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me again. I had so much fun last time. I'm so excited we're doing this again.
Yeah, me too. It's been such a crazy year for us in the podcast that it feels like it was like 10 years ago.
It kind of does. And I've followed what you guys have been doing, and I'm such a fan, and you've done so many great interviews, and yeah, you guys are on fire.
It has been crazy. I never could have imagined it in a million years, but we're so grateful and so excited. And Amber would be here, but she is actually, it's very exciting. She is starting a new job this week. So she'd been at the same job for 11 years. So,
oh my goodness.
This is huge. Very exciting. Ooh. So
I hope she breaks a leg. Not usually, but you know. Break a leg.
So it's very exciting. So yeah, we have last spoke to you in February. I think the episode aired on March 1st. Crazy year. How's your year been?
This has actually been one of the craziest work years for me. I've been doing this half of my life, so 15 years, and this has been wild. Especially just jumping back and forth. I'm on two different series, and I have been for the past few years, but this year it just got really hectic, and there would be certain days I would wake up in the morning and I'd shoot on one set, then I'd drive myself to the other set and shoot there, and there was just so much back and forth, and it's amazing. It's a dream come true. But then doing that, and then I had a couple off days in October, and then we managed to squeeze in a Christmas movie on top of things, and there was that with the Hardy's family reunion, and just every single day was booked to the max, so it was wild, just a wild ride, and November's been a little bit more calm, so I feel like I'm recuperating now, but yeah, it really has been a wild year, and my other show, Supergirl, and When Calls the Heart this season, it just so happened that both shows started shooting on the exact same day. Of both days. And that would so rarely happen. There's no reason for that. But it was like, okay, here we go.
Oh, man. Wow. So you really did double up some days, did both shows.
There were a lot of doubled up days. And one of the things I think people might not think about when you're filming a series, it's not just the physical filming. You also have to go in for ADR and do a lot of voice work. You have to do fittings. You have to do table reads. You have meetings. So on top of the actual shooting schedule, there's just a lot of places you have to be at any given time. So it really was crazy.
Especially in a show like When Calls the Heart, where you're having to get in period costumes and makeup and all that stuff too. It's not like you can just waltz in there.
Exactly. You don't just waltz in. I mean, I would come in having played Eve Tessmacher from Supergirl. This happened a few times where I'd be with the full lashes, and she, of course, Eve wears these fun little dresses and just kind of a girly girl in a way, and then just coming to When Calls the Heart, and it was like, okay, strip off the lashes, quick, let's change the hair, quick, and just completely shifting perspectives as well, taking yourself, you know, over 100 years. It was pretty funny.
That's amazing. Wow. Well, I very much admire you for that. That's incredible.
Well, thank you.
So, and also you managed to squeeze in somehow getting married. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I know that was also part of the whirlwind this year. And I still can't believe that happened. I don't know if that's even really fully managed to sink in yet. But I think that reality will probably hit me, I think, in December. Because that's one of the great things about film. You're one time of year when all production stops will be over the holidays.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, when there's zero work to be done, I'm going to sit back and be like, oh, wow, okay. Yeah. It hit me yet.
Yeah, that's what Alonzo Duralli, we've had on our show a couple times, he was saying that the thing that all these shows get wrong is that the week of Christmas in LA, it's like dead. There's like there's hardly any traffic. Everybody's like this. So that's really so true. Yeah.
The time to recenter yourself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, was it funny after having been, or sort of surreal after having been a bride in so many of these fake weddings?
Yeah, I will say that I was very well rehearsed. Like, I feel like I had had a lot of practice runs. So yeah. That was a positive. In what world can most people say that? I don't know. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're like, I have to make this better than the fake weddings are what's gonna do.
Well, the nice thing about doing so many wedding movies is you never have to feel worried about whatever style dress you choose or anything like that, because you're gonna have the option to be a bride again and get the photos all over again. So it kind of takes the pressure off, I think.
Yeah.
As weird as that is. I was like, well, yes, I've worn that style. Okay. Oh, I wonder what I'll wear next time. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, as long as people aren't like, yeah, and your dress in Harvest Wedding is really better than what you picked. No. Something like that. Like,
no. Right. Hilarious.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Cool. Well, congratulations. Very exciting.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so since we last talked to you, we have seen, because I think it was right before The Sweetest Heart came out, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like I liked it better than most. It's on in or near my top 10 of non-Christmas.
Really? I feel very honored that you say that. I know how well versed you are in the Hallmark universe. That's a compliment.
Yeah. Amber and I kind of fought over it a little bit. She wasn't quite as big a fan, but I really liked it because I really like having three separate romances to follow. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like probably as close as we're going to get to something that, and maybe Christmas and Evergreen, the last one. Like, mm-hmm. I like the idea of sort of, not like a Love Actually, but kind of in that ballpark where it's not just the one, but you get these other little kind of romances aside. That was really good. I mean, The Sweetest Heart was nice because it was three distinct couples that you kind of followed. And I liked that.
That's a good point. You know, I've never really broken it down that way, but you're absolutely right. Yeah.
It was a lot fun.
And it's relationships at different stages too, which yeah. is kind of, you've got people preparing to get married, you've got some people who are just meeting, you have an old flame, so it's different yeah. styles of romances as well.
Yeah, I like that. And I had to just laugh at Tammy Gillis's character, because it was so classic. Like, people, as somebody who is 37 and single, believe me, there's nothing that that people that, it's so funny, because it's like people that have just gotten engaged, all of a sudden they think they are just super experts, and they're like, oh, well, you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this, and what are you doing, you know?
Right.
I feel like, you were just in my same spot like 6 months ago. Down. Like, what is going on?
That's amazing.
So I really like that. The only thing I didn't like in the movie, but it was kind of hilarious, was the terrible cupcakes. Like, what was up with those combinations? We were like, what? Like, rosemary and pine nuts. And like,
you know what, though? The rosemary pine nut one was delicious. And
you actually tried it?
That had
been real?
I remember they did the same thing. They brought them in a box, and I think that in one of the scenes I was supposed to eat that one, so I knew. I was like, okay, I'm going to be consuming 8 of these or 10 of these, because you just have to keep doing them in every take.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, man, they look so weird. They were delicious. They were the best, some of the best cupcakes I've ever had, I will say. I know that they sound strange. I don't know why they didn't go for something classic, like a nice chocolate that everyone can identify with.
Yeah.
But rosemary pine nuts were very good.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. It's like, I don't need that on my cupcake. Let's have like yellow cake and chocolate. That to me, yellow cake and chocolate to me is the best combination of cake or cupcake.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's because fair. You get like a little bit of chocolate in the frosting. It's not over, because chocolate on chocolate, that's a lot of chocolate. You almost need milk.
Sure.
But if you have, and yellow cake is better than white cake because it's got like a little bit of a butter flavor. Yeah. I thought about this far too much. But
you could have used you as the cupcake expert on this movie.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We could be the call-in experts for so many Hallmark movies. Like, just call the call.
You guys are like the archive.
But yeah, it's definitely the best combination. It's and it's also the best one to make for people because, like, everybody likes it. Like, I can't imagine anyone being like, that's disgusting. I hate yellow cake and chocolate. Like, what? Unless you just are allergic to chocolate or something.
You can't go wrong with classic. You really can't. I love a good vanilla and I love a good chocolate.
Yeah. And people get too crazy with these cupcakes. Like, I don't know. They're just out of control. You see, like, cornbread and I'm like, what? What's going on?
And, yeah. People are getting pretty creative in the cupcake world. Like, I can attest to that.
Yeah. And it's, I like peanut butter and chocolate. Like, that's what I get if I go to those fancy cupcake places. I'm like, I'll get the Reese's. I'll leave you all to the madness.
Yeah. That's a good Yeah, I like that. And, yeah, I don't really know why in that movie you got so inventive. But it was fun. I tasted most of the cupcake flavors in that movie. And the red velvet was also delicious. Weirdly enough, Susie and I became really great friends on that project. Yeah. We just kind of met each other, and we had an instant bond. Uh-huh. And I just adore her. We're still super close. And every day, right before lunch, we would go up to props and be like, what can we have today? So we were still not over it. You would think by day two we were so over cupcakes, but we had like taste-offs, and we would cut them all up and sort of pass them around and be like, what do you think of this cupcake anyway?
Well, I'm surprised they actually had those weird flavors. I figured that was just something that they were like, but you actually got to taste it. That's really funny.
It's true. It actually, that was the cupcake that I consumed. Yes.
Because we were laughing, cracking up because we're like, Hallmark is just getting too creative with this food stuff. Because in the Christmas Cottage, just a couple months before, they were trying to show that Steve Lund's character was like the super avant-garde chef or whatever, and he was making like a gochujang and like curry and like all this stuff. It's like like all those things are good, but not combined together, you know. It's just like
right
and stuffing with cranberries. It's not that hard.
Very true.
Yeah. And I kept thinking of, I love in what's it called? Wedding Bells with Danica McKellar. And like, Kevon Smith plays a chef in that one as well.
Right.
She's like eating this thing. And she's like something, pickles and eggs, two things I enjoy separately.
That's actually incredible. And actually Kevin is, in real life, quite an incredible chef.
Yeah.
He spends a spare time coming up with amazing concoctions. I've never had anything that he's made, but I've seen photos, and that guy is quite the chef. So that, I wonder what his thoughts on that would have been.
Well, I wonder why he's holding out on the When Calls the Heart team. Like, why isn't he cooking for you all?
I don't know, but I should raise this.
That's funny.
Get a job in the catering department.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the traumatic ending of last season of When Calls the Heart. Okay, so we're still all recovering, but hopefully people are healing. It was quite the thing to podcast about. As a fan, I didn't love it. I mean, obviously I'm not going to love Jack dying, but I didn't love the execution of it. I thought it was a little clunky and it could have been better. But I was just curious, from as a person who is on the cast, how did you feel about it? How did you feel about how it kind of went down?
Well, we all knew from the beginning of the season that that's how it was going to end. And it was so tough for everybody, you know, because all of us, we do so many interviews and we're all on social media, and just knowing that was coming. And I can honestly say that everyone approached those final two episodes, especially the final episode, with so much care and consideration, especially Erin. She was just a class act. That whole episode, she really was in the zone. She would have her earphones in and she would just be centering herself, getting ready for her performance. And I honestly think she did a stellar job doing that while under intense pressure, just knowing that that was going to have such an impact on the fandom. I mean, we all took that very seriously, and it was tough, and it was...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, people, influences, and experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Legitimately sad. I mean, when we were conducting the funeral scene, it was legitimately tough on us as well. And the one thing I will say is this is kind of what happens with a successful television series. Things can't always stay the same. People move on, contracts change. There's a million different reasons why things like this change and things like this happen. And we all adore Daniel. We're all still close with him, and we wish him the absolute best. And he's been so lovely. As usual, he's still the same old Daniel. But it's tough. You kind of feel like, okay, we're losing a family member. How are we going to deal with this? And yeah, it was tough. But we all really did try to approach that with respect and knowing how the fans would feel. Yeah. So
we all did actually really think that the finale was one of the better episodes that we've seen. Like, it was very well done. I guess the part I thought was a little clunky was the whole, I don't know. I felt like it's a very romantic show in the sense of there were like romantic time, romantic poetry, that kind of a feel. And so I felt like Jack's death should have been a little bit more romantic in tone, in the sense that I feel like he should have had something like get scarlet fever and Lisbeth by his side, and you know, them having like this moment and something like that. That's a little bit more sort of, I don't know, like Gilbert Blythe getting sick, you know, and Anne not knowing if she's, you know, the last time she's going to talk to him, and something with a little bit more of that sort of romantic feel to it, I think would have been better. I would have liked it better, as opposed to just a guy on a horse with a telegram. I just felt like that was kind of not my favorite.
Yeah, that was tough. That's tough. And I honestly don't know all of the behind the scenes workings of how they came to that conclusion, but that's the conclusion they came, that's what ended up happening.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say, and yeah, sure, clunky, sure. Everyone can have their opinion about that, absolutely. But I think it really allowed Erin to showcase this other side of her talent that we don't generally get to see on the show. So I always, and that's just me, I always try to look at the positives in these situations, because of course it's tough. And watching the fan reaction to that episode was really tough, because we had all, you know, put in so much, and we had gone through the full season with everyone. And of course, when that episode was coming up, I mean, all of us, you can imagine, were all texting, like the actors, we were all texting each other going, like, oh my gosh, like, cross your fingers. I don't know, all around tough, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, I will say, especially with this season, with where we're moving on from that. I think people will be satisfied. And I hope that for the people who are maybe not, if they haven't decided if they want to stick with the show or not, I will say, I think that they've genuinely done a wonderful job at picking up the pieces and launching forward into some amazing storylines for this upcoming season. So there's that to look forward to as well.
That's good. I like that. I mean, and like I said, I did really like the finale, because I appreciate it, especially, I mean, we love Little Opal is our like favorite person in the whole cast.
Heartbreaking in that.
That finale when she's like, we both are the ones rescued by Jack. I was like, okay.
She's such a good little actor too. Yeah. When she looks at you with those big puppy dog eyes, your heart just goes, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have really nailed the child actors. And I think that Erin shines whenever she's with any of the children.
She does a great job. And I will say, we have some of the most professional kids in the business on this show because they've all been working together for so many years now, and we've all watched them grow up. I mean, even today on the Hardy's Instagram account, there was a photo of some of the kids by the Christmas tree, and I was just like, they're getting so tall. You know, when I met these kids 5 years ago, years ago, they were much shorter. Now I'm looking at them dead in the eye, and it's crazy, but they're so professional. They're all so lovely, and just I couldn't say more complimentary things about our kids. I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, somebody was saying, "Oh well, are they going to do a time jump?" Because it's sometimes hard to have, you know, babies on sets and stuff. I was like, "No, they can't, because they got those kids. What would they? You know, how can they do that?
You can't force the kids to grow quicker than they're growing."
they're the one of the best parts of the show. So yeah, I agree. And I also loved in the finale that whole scene with the widows,
that was really good. And with the quilt that they made, and that was a direct kind of nod to the Hardys.
Yeah, I think that worked really well.
I think it did too. You know, they really worked hard to try to make it as genuine an episode as possible. But, you know, it's just one of those tough things that you have to face in television. It's tough. It's not easy. I don't think anyone would sit here and say, "Oh, that was no problem," because it wasn't. And, you know, the show is still moving on full force. And I think there's a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So I was just going to ask, what kind of, without any spoilers, but what do you expect for your character in season 7? And as far as, are we going to get a little bit of romance? Are we going to get, what do you see coming up for Faith?
So yeah, for this season, Faith, I think what I've kind of been saying is you're going to get to see a bit of Faith's backstory this year, which I was really excited about. And you're going to start to understand why she is the way she is a little bit. So doing a bit of a deep dive is always fun. And you're going to see her vulnerable. I think for the past, I don't know, 3, I guess even 4 seasons, Faith has always been this determined workhorse. I mean, she's so committed to her career, and she puts her career and helping others above all else. And you really get to see her vulnerability this year, which I'm really
That's about. Great. I'm excited for that. Yeah. And I assume they're going to want to kind of move away from the tone of the finale back to its kind of original tone and get back to some of those sort of lighter stories pretty quickly, I would think.
Yep.
I think so. Yeah.
We still pay homage and pay respect to what happened in the finale of last season. But, and of course that's kind of the roots to this season. That fact isn't changing, but, yeah. But yeah, you see the community kind of pull up their bootstraps and pick up and kind of dwell on the positive. And that's something that has always been the case with Hope Valley and the characters there. When in times of trouble, people rally, and you definitely see that.
Yeah. Well, and I'm excited about the new cast members. You get Chris McNally from Sweetest Heart is now on One Couple. That's exciting.
So I was so excited when I heard. It was crazy. We all heard who was kind of shortlisted and back when they were casting this. And when I heard Chris was an option, I was so excited because I was like, oh, he's so perfect. And we were good buddies by this point. Yeah. So the text conversations that were going on. And then when it finally happened, it was like, yes. So yeah, we had a big celebration and it was really fun.
I love him. He's one of
a lot of people love him.
Yeah, we did a whole podcast on the Hunks of Hallmark with the Hunks of Hallmark ladies, which was really fun. And he made my list of my top
five. Yes. Wait, who are the other
3? Made my list.
Who are the other 4?
Oh, my list. So I had Paul Green. I had Chris McNally, Thomas Bodine.
Okay.
Yeah, and he is so dreamy. I think he's one of the most handsome people I've ever seen in my life. And I also had Sean Roberts from Recipe for Love.
Aw, I love that. I love asking that question just because I'm friends with so many of these people. It's always just so hilarious to, yeah. to see But yeah, Paul and Chris, they're two of my good buddies.
Yeah. When he was on Rocky Mountain Christmas, he was just like, he was her brother in this movie. So it was like a small part. But every time he came on screen, Chris McNally, I was like, woo! I'm so excited. Yeah. So
I think he was the only one because he ended up on When Calls the Heart. So he was doing something right.
That's right.
yeah, he's fantastic. He did such a great job. He's such a great actor. And he's just, he's such a wonderful human. So I was so excited. So excited about that.
That is really cool. Well, yeah, I'm hoping that, because now my brain this morning, I'm sorry, but who's the other new lead that they got?
Kevin McGarry.
Yeah, Kevin McGarry, so dreamy as well. I'm really hoping that they are not just doing a second Jack, that we're getting new characters that are going to be interesting. I know the one is a Mountie, but that's my hope is that we'll be getting something a little bit new.
A little new, yeah. Yeah, I think we've all accepted the fact that Daniel was Jack and no one can replace him. And I know even that being an option at one point, like way back in the day, what do? Do we replace this character with another actor? It's just not an option because Daniel was Jack and he did an amazing job and no one can ever, fill those shoes. But I can honestly say with Kevin coming in and playing a Mountie, he brings a whole new vibe. And he's a spectacular actor. And I think he did a really great job. But yeah, I don't think anyone has to be too worried about anyone trying to replace Jack. I think that he's different enough and he brings a different swagger to that new role.
Good. I'm really looking forward to that. And of course I'm excited to see more about Rosemary and Leland. They're my favorite. I actually like them even better than Jack and Elizabeth as far as a romance and a couple. I love them.
Hilarious. The two of them working together, just watching them, it's like a ping pong match. You're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh my goodness. And it's almost like they're reading each other's minds. It's really funny to act with them because they're just sort of like sparring. Yeah, it's great. They're fantastic. Yeah. They're such key additions to this show. I just couldn't imagine the show without them.
Yeah, they're just so funny. And so, although we felt a little bit last season that, like, we felt a little bit like Rosemary would do all these nice things and people were a little critical of her. We're like, she's planning your wedding in 2 weeks. Like, lay off a little bit. We're very defensive. We feel we feel a sense of ownership of Rosemary because we think she's so great.
Oh, and I like that.
Yeah, we do. We love her. We're like, don't be critical of Rosemary. What are you doing? She's the best.
Yeah, I think she does such a great job. I think all the characters on this show have such big hearts. So even if they have flaws or what have you, at the end of the day, their heart kind of shines through. I know that sounds a little bit cheesy, but it's true. And with her character is so out there. But at the end of the day, you can see how she has no ill intentions. She's such an honest character.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about the movie coming up before the season. So this movie, the little synopsis says that it's going to have a orphan train of some kind that's going to come through town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of without giving too much away of kind of what it's going to be?
I think in every Christmas episode, you have to have something happen that brings the town together. And in this year's Christmas special, it involves orphans coming to town and they need help. And they're with their two caretakers and they come to town and everyone rallies. And I think it's going to give Hallmark fans and Hardys what they like, which is that I know everyone is so appreciative of having kids and children on this show. And you really get to see not only the town rally, you get to see the kids of Hope Valley kind of interact with with the orphans who come to town, and you get to see everyone put their best foot forward for these adorable kids. Honestly, Hallmark does such a good job casting the cutest children. They're all so lovely. They're such good actors. I know I'm derailing myself a little bit, but they're so adorable.
Yeah, no, they are. There's no doubt about it. They're not too mop top Hollywood kind of, I don't know, they still feel like real kids.
Genuine real kids. Yeah, that's, I think that on this show in particular, everyone needs to kind of have maybe a rawness. We are playing back in time. So you want kids who kind of fill that space, so to speak. And I think all of the kids that they've cast on this show are very believable for the time period.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Opal, and I love Philip, who I don't think I'm afraid he's not gonna be on the show anymore, but he was so cute. He was adorable.
Oh, he was so cute. I know.
But yeah, this sounds fun. Because I felt like last year it was good. I enjoyed it. But, you know, the whole wishing tree concept, I think, could have, we could have gotten more wishes, and we could have gotten sort of more into that a little bit. But I did love the whole moment in last year's with she's taking the thing off the tree, the ornament or whatever, making her wish. And like Jack is right behind her and he's like, your wish has come true or something like that. And I was like, that is swoon worthy. I mean, in real life, if somebody did that to me, I would probably elbow them in the back because I'd be so surprised. But as far as swoon-worthiness, it was really good. As far as escapism and romance, I thought it was really good.
That is adorable. Yeah, my character, unfortunately, wasn't in the Christmas special last season.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was working on Harvest Wedding at that time, so I had a conflict. Okay. And, it's just the way things go sometimes. I was sad to not be able to do that one last year, but this year, it's there. I'm so excited.
What do you think has been the best or most impactful episode that Faith has had yet? I'm curious.
Oh. Ooh.
I can tell you which one I thought while you're thinking, if you want.
Yeah, tell me what you think.
So I think the best episode so far for Faith and for Dr. Carson is the girl with the tumor.
Yeah.
That was the best one, because he really had to reach and decide if he was going to take that risk, especially after what happened to his wife. And I think that you sort of encouraging him and supporting him in that when he was really insecure, I think that was a really good one.
I actually agree. That's an amazing answer. It's probably better than what I was going to say. But I think some of Faith's most powerful scenes and episodes are coming this season. Vulnerability, you're going to see her, you know, crack wide open. I think she sometimes tends to create a shell for herself. And you see her come out of that this year, which I'm excited about. We'll have to talk about that after these air.
Yes, we totally will. That's so fun. I'm so excited.
I've seen actually quite a lot of footage from this season because I've been doing ADR these past couple of weeks. And it's so exciting to see some of these scenes, because sometimes when you really have to go out with your emotion or you know, portray a character's vulnerability or a journey of some kind, sometimes it's tough and you're like, oh, am I doing this right? I don't know if this feels right. And then seeing it a few months later, you're like, oh, okay. All right, great. I can see how this all fits together now, because sometimes in the moment you just don't know if it's working or if it looks honest or whatnot. But I'm so excited for what's coming up.
I would think too, it would be hard to separate your individual experience from the actual content itself. I would think would be tough, because even as a podcaster, I'm like, oh, that episode was so fun. We had such a great time. But but I can't, like, so I'm not that objective as far as, like, is it, yeah, like, objectively good? I don't know. I hope so. I think so. But I don't know.
Being objective is tough. And especially, you know, sometimes on set when you're doing certain scenes, I sometimes do this. I'll go over to the monitor and I'll watch the replay. And then just to get an idea, and sometimes that's extremely helpful for positioning yourself in the scene or the way the light's hitting or, you know, sometimes that's helpful. Sometimes it's really not, but it's tough. In that moment, you'll be looking for something and you'll be like, okay, great. But to be fully objective, I really need time. Like, I don't often like watching what I do because it is a little bit strange. You're in your mind, you're like, oh, I remember doing it a certain way, and maybe it's edited in a different way, or they used a take that I didn't think they would use. So sometimes it's tough, but I really just need distance and time. And then that's why kind of engaging with something a few months later or even a year later when you've kind of forgotten about it is nice, because then you watch it with a fresh set of eyes and you're like, oh, okay, that either worked or that didn't work, and I can see why. Whereas in the moment, I had no clue.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is nice. But I will say, going back to what my favorite Faith episode is, I really love the episode with Niall Mader when Shane and Faith go on a date. And then they kiss in the middle of the town. Just because that was another moment. There was that moment. And then I love when Faith shows her vulnerability, and I love playing that. Because I love that push and pull feeling of I shouldn't be doing this, but I need to do this. But I do, like, that whole kind of internal struggle is really fun to portray. Yeah. And I think that episode, you really saw her kind of trying to put on the brakes, but then being like, okay, maybe this is good for me. And I think he was a great catalyst for her because he showed her, you know, put yourself out there. What are you doing? You know, there's more to life than just grinding and keeping your nose down and doing what needs to be done. And I think he kind of showed her what she was missing a little bit. And then, yeah, getting to play that vulnerability. And I think she had moments like that, even with Jack way back, you know, season 2, 3, because they were friends and he trusted him and she kind of opened up. But there aren't a lot of people that Faith opens up to, because she, working at the infirmary, people open up to her literally all the time. They're sick, they need help. So she's always on the other end of that. But then actually being someone who needs to be listened to or taken care of, that's kind of not her priority. So any time that she showcases vulnerability is kind of my favorite to play.
That's really cool. I agree. I like those moments as well. 2 Christmas movies this season. One for Hallmark, The Jingle Around the Clock with Brooke Nevin. And so that must have been a fun experience. She was like, she executive produced that, didn't she? Or was very involved in it? Yeah.
It was so cool to be a part of that project, because this project is Brooke's baby. And her partner, Michael, the two of them went to Hallmark, I believe it was 2 years ago, with a concept, and they pitched this and they had written the script, and then they ended up teaming up with some other Hallmark writers, and this has been such a long journey for them. And this is her baby. So getting to act with someone who was also not only had the actor set of eyes, but had the producer set of eyes was really neat.
Yeah.
And she did a fabulous job. She's a great actress. And it's a really, really fun Christmas movie. What can I say? It's always fun to do Christmas.
Oh, I'm really excited for it. It has Rob Bokin as the writer, and she has been knocking it out of the park. And Zachary Hugg is also a co-writer on it, and he has just been amazing this season. And so just writing, and then the cast, incredible. You've got Brooke, Jeremy Gilblatt, who is amazing. Michael Cassidy. It's a really good cast. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, good. I know. I think this is my either 4th or 5th project with Jeremy. I mean, we just laugh at this point. We're like, of course, we're in the same movie. Of course. So yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's funny.
It was basically, I went in and shot my scenes for that movie just on the off days from When Calls the Heart. And I had also done 2 Supergirl episodes that same month. So it was just the schedule. It's just madness. But I just kind of come in just ready to go. I'm like, all right, full blown Christmas, here we go. And yeah, we had, and it was like with the greatest cast. You're so right.
Yeah.
We had so much fun.
That's really cool. Wow. Yeah. You sure you don't have a double of your walking around?
I would say send one on vacation for like a year. But yeah, it would be nice. I know scheduling can be hard. I mean, sometimes things have to shift. Sometimes you have to turn down projects because of schedules. It always breaks my heart because I'm such a yes person and I want to do everything. But I was really pleased that we were able to actually schedule this and make it work.
That's awesome. So you were also in Santa's Boots for a Lifetime. This one sounds a lot of fun. It sounds like it has a little bit of a little bit of Christmas magic going on with this Santa and kind of it's just a little bit of a reverse Cinderella kind of situation where he leaves his shoes, and it looks really fun. I mean, it also has a fun cast. You got Terrell Rothery, who's great. June Squibb, I mean, she's a legend. That must have been a really fun.
It was that one. So I shot that movie, I want to say it was June. It was pretty early. Uh-huh. And I did that right before when Call the Heart and Supergirl started. So I was kind of in summer mode at the time. And then that came along and I was like, okay, sure. I've never done a Lifetime Christmas. And I was like, well, this is a great project to kind of do to warm up for the big seasons that are coming up here.
Yeah.
So I've been telling people I started celebrating Christmas in June and it's finally December now. And it's just been Christmas, 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 Christmas. I feel like I've missed all the other seasons because work has just been so Christmas driven. But yeah, that's a really fun project. My character is a little bit, Jenny is a little bit more of a tomboy. She works at a Christmas tree ranch, so to speak. I don't know, ranch.
Farm.
Christmas tree farm. And yeah, you get that character's quite vulnerable. She's dealing with kind of a fizzled out romance. So yeah, she's vulnerable and there are some pretty raw scenes actually in that movie, but there's still, it's definitely a Christmas movie. Everywhere you turn, every setup, there are just Christmas trees and Christmas lights. It's Christmas to the max.
Yeah. Is that, what's that like shooting a Christmas movie in June? I mean, it's gotta be surreal, all that snow in the summer.
It's weird, and it's hot, because June, July, August, I mean, it doesn't get extremely hot in Vancouver, where all of these things are shot for the most part, but those are the warmer months, so it is kind of strange to be like, ooh, I'm tanned, and I feel kind of sweaty, but I've got a parka on, and scarves, and hats, and so that's always a little bit strange, because even just as an actor, you're supposed to be outside acting like, ooh, I'm shivering, but you're like, oh, it's so hot. And it's
yeah.
So that's always my takeaway from shooting Christmas movies in the summer. But that's what was kind of nice about shooting Jingle Around the Clock and the Christmas special for Hallmark for When Calls the Heart. It legitimately was getting pretty cold. It was the end of October for both of those. And just being able to see your breath a little bit and being like, oh, like I don't have to act cold because I am a little bit cold. That was kind of a luxury. And that was the other thing for When Calls the Heart this year. Generally, we work for the most part in chronological order. We do shoot two episodes at once in a block, but we follow the order, the narrative trajectory, so to speak. But this season, we did the Christmas movie last, which was a little bit funny because our characters have all gone through these journeys, but then we have to kind of rewind our brains and then take our characters back to whatever happened prior to our, you know, arcs this season. But it was also just so nice to be outside in the cold, and it was kind of misty and to actually, feel cold in Hope Valley instead of, you know, having the tan and the sweat going.
yeah, that would be, I find that it seems like the ones that they shoot latest tend to be some of my favorites. And I don't know if it's just because of the atmosphere. Like last year, Christmas Getaway, I really enjoyed. I know that was a later one. I know Christmas Next Door, I think it was called, with Fiona. That was really fun, and that was later. So I don't know if they just maybe saved.
Authenticity maybe that you just can't quite replicate in the summer. I mean, I will say they do an amazing job. It is fun.
And I feel like they have up the budgets this year. I mean, just, I feel like the snow looks way better than last year.
Interesting. You say across the board.
I do, yeah. I feel, well, not just the snow, but I feel like in general, the production values across the board have been better than in years past.
I actually am not aware of numbers of any kind, but I would imagine that you're correct. Just given how popular these things are and the articles I'm seeing now about Christmas movies, and it's like, oh, I remember doing these back in the day when this was a small little thing just a few years ago, and now it's become this phenomenon, and so many people are watching these movies. So yeah, I wouldn't doubt that they've realized this. They're like, okay, let's throw a little bit more into this and make it a bigger deal.
Well, so we, last time you were on our podcast, we gave you the Team B questions, and this time we have the holiday edition of our silly questions. End our podcast. So it's pretty fun. So first question, what is your favorite holiday drink?
I love eggnog. Anything with eggnog. I've always adored it. Anytime it shows up on the shelves, that is the start to the Christmas season for me. Anything with eggnog, it doesn't need to have any alcohol of any kind in it, but I like an eggnog latte. Yeah. I, for the most part, don't drink that much dairy anymore. I've kind of limited it, but when it comes to eggnog, I will never give that.
I agree. I love some eggnog. Okay, what's your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
My mom is an amazing baker, and she bakes these little Christmas squares that she calls jingle bars. And she actually had this recipe published, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And it's famous. If all of our friends get jingle bars, my agent and manager gets jingle bars, they're at all the parties and all my friends know about them. So that is my 100% favorite Christmas tree.
You should work this into a Hallmark Christmas movie, jingle bars. That's the most Hallmarky thing I've ever heard in my life.
That is a very good point. Yeah. I like that, jingle bars. Yeah,
it's for the perfect jingle bar. Yeah.
Jingle bar.
Yeah. They had the Kringles this year, you know, the Christmas Kringles. And, and next year we can have jingle bars. It'll be great.
I'm liking this. I'll give you the copyright to her recipe.
Yeah, it'll be good. Okay, she can go on Home and Family and make the jingle bars. It'll be perfect.
She would love that.
Okay, what is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
You know, I've actually been asked that a few times recently, and I don't know if I've ever officially had a favorite, but I will say, for the sake of Jingle Around the Clock, Jingle Bells. And you'll know why when you see the movie.
Okay. Jingle. So what is your favorite Christmas movie, the one you have to watch every year?
Ooh. You know what I love is Home Alone. I know that's not Hallmark, but my brother and I used to watch Home Alone 1 and 2, Two Being Lost in New York, and that there's just something so Christmassy about those movies. So yeah, that would be my
go-to. One of my favorites too. It's a foundation movie. It was the first comedy I ever really like loved as a
kid.
So, I love it. I saw it when I was 9 years old with my grandparents. And I just remember just thinking it was the most hilarious thing I'd ever seen in my life. And now as an adult, I appreciate it almost more for the sweetness and the moments of real heart that are there. And I love it. It's great. Good choice. Okay. Next we have, what's your favorite holiday tradition? The one thing that you have to do or it's not Christmas.
Ooh. I mean, I really love spending Christmas with family and... what's my favorite part of it? I think just the way my family does it growing up, we have stockings downstairs and my mom would always cook this amazing spread for breakfast. And we would go downstairs and do the stockings and then we would eat breakfast and then we would do the presents. So I just, that trajectory is really important to me just because that's how we've always done it. But as of recently, my dogs, we started wrapping up gifts for them and they've learned how to unwrap gifts.
Oh, that's so cute.
Funniest thing. They just, because I guess they can smell that there's a treat. Or if you just tell them, you're like, this is for you. My parents' dog, Lucy, she's a golden doodle. She's 12, and she'll just daintily like open her gifts and she'll take out whatever it is, and she gets really excited. And same with Bean, my little chihuahua, she just follows what the other one does. So yeah, the dogs opening presents, that's my new favorite tradition.
That is really cute. Well, so what's a memorable Christmas gift that you've either given or received? Maybe a Ryder BB gun moment.
Yeah, good question. I must have been 10 years old or 9 years old, and I got the Princess Beanie Baby, because I'm one of those kids from the Beanie Baby generation. I still have them in storage. I will never get rid of them because I had an immaculate collection, and I kept them in pristine condition with the little tag protectors. But it was, I guess, what year did that Beanie Baby come out? I feel like it was 1997. The fact that I still remember that is crazy. every kid or every little girl wanted the Princess Purple Beanie Baby, the Princess Diana Beanie Baby. And I guess my mom somehow managed to get one. And when I got that for Christmas, that was just, it blew my mind.
Still that have is it. So cute. Oh, love it. All right. Which do you prefer, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Oh, the Grinch. Classic.
Clear lights or colored?
Oh, you know what? Clear is pretty classy. I'll go with clear.
All right. Good. Okay. It sounds like you're a very good gift wrapper if you're wrapping for your dogs, but, would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper?
You know what? I can be a good gift wrapper if I choose to be, but it depends on the person. Because if I'm giving a gift to someone who's not going to appreciate the wrapping, they don't get the special paper. You know, they don't get a quick job. That's fine. But if it's someone who really appreciates a gift, and there are certain people in my life who really do appreciate that stuff, I will buy them a nice paper and do a nice bow, and I'll wrap it really beautifully. So I can do either or. It just depends who I'm giving the gift to.
So if your friends and family of Andrea are listening, you know now if she respects your gift giving. The level of wrapping.
Yeah. Analyze the wrapping. Yeah.
That's really
friendship fun. Status right there.
So do you have an ugly sweater, a Christmas sweater? What is your ugliest Christmas sweater?
I do. I have this silly... Okay, I actually bought this. It was a couple of years ago. We wrapped Shooting When Calls the Heart right before the Christmas holiday. So I don't know where our wrap party was that year, but I figured in my mind, I was like, oh, it's Christmas themed probably. So I bought the ugliest snowman Christmas sweater dress. And for a belt, it has a scarf that goes around the snowman's, like under its head. And it has this carrot on it. And I bought it. And I'm like, yeah. And then I asked around. And no one was dressing Christmassy. They were dressing in like. So I was like, oh, man. So I hung it up. And I still have it. And I actually just shot a little promo sequence for the Hallmark Channel with my dog wearing that outfit. So I think that'll be airing on the network.
Actually, so you could have totally had a Bridget Jones moment. You know? Or
I could.
Christmas jumper, they call it.
Yeah, to show up, everyone would be like, what are you doing? That's totally something that would happen. But I did luckily ask around, and everyone's like, no, we're wearing nice black dresses. And I was like, oh, okay, perfect. Then I will not be wearing that. But I did wear it recently. So if you watch the Hallmark Channel and watch the promos in between, at one point, I assume I will be popping up with a Christmas message in that outfit with my dog, who's also wearing a Santa hat.
Wow, so you're getting a whole interstitial. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
That's when you know you made it. Because they only give the interstitials to, like, I mean, they've got, you know, your Candace Cameron Bures and your Danica McKellars, and so that's pretty
true. Exciting. True. I think this one, it went out to the When Calls the Heart cast, and we had to shoot it. We didn't go in where they have the magical light set up. We were meant to shoot it at home, iPhone style video. So we'll see. We'll make the cut, Bean and I. We looked pretty silly.
That's really fun. Cool. Well, this has been so much fun. I really enjoyed talking with you, getting the scoop on When It Calls the Heart. Really fun. I know that the Hardys are, I joked last year that the Hardys are like, the movie first and then Christmas second as far as excitement and anticipation, I think. Yay. Is pretty safe. They're like, family, get out of the house. I want to watch When Calls the Heart.
Be quiet. Finish dinner quickly.
So they're very, very excited, and we're really excited to cover the season. And so that'll be fun. We have When Calls the Hallmarkies show that is a lot of fun. And so we're looking forward to that. And yeah, thank you so much. This has been a delight.
Thank you. That was so fun to catch up. Anytime. Yeah. I love chatting about this stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely take you up on that. And yeah, have a really Merry Christmas. Do you have social media you'd like to share?
Do you have social media you'd like to share? Sure. I am Andrea K. Brooks on Twitter, Andrea K. Brooks on Instagram. I'm actually, now that we talked about jingle bars, I'll see if I can get my mom to post her recipe. Maybe I'll do like a jingle bar post. I was thinking about that while we were talking. So yeah, Andrea K. Brooks on Instagram. And those are the two that I use the most. So.
Great. We'll have links for that in the description, so make sure you check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast, The Hallmarkies Pod, all over social media. And if you can get any reviews on iTunes, we really appreciate it. And give us your thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. So thanks again, Andrea. It's been so much fun. And we'll look forward to When Calls the Heart.
Merry Christmas.